conquer stress, boost happiness, and create an extraordinary life. Welcome to Uplift with your host, Jamie Fessel.
And I hope that you're enjoying your Monday. Sounds like we're having a little technical difficulty. It is absolutely gorgeous here in Michigan. We had some snow last night and this morning, and I am really lucky to live on almost 2 acres of property, and a lot of that is trees. So I am looking out at just a gorgeous scene in my backyard. And I want to thank you all for joining me for this hour. And I'm really excited for today's show. We are going to be talking about writing. And writing is a big part of my life. And before you tune out, I know a lot of people think, oh, writing. I want you to just hang on for a minute because writing is extremely powerful. And we're going to be talking about writing for conquering and facing your fears, writing for healing and releasing things in your life so that you can welcome in abundance and positivity. And then we're going to turn the conversation to writing as a career and what it's like to actually live life as a writer. So I have a really special guest today. It's Gabe Berman, and he has written 3 awesome books. He was on the show in December, and he was talking about his miracle website. So if you listen to that, you may remember Gabe. It was a very popular show. So I'm delighted to welcome him back to talk about writing. And before we do that, I just wanted to make a couple of announcements. The first one is that I finally announced the winners of the Uplift Membership Group Scholarship. And they went to Carol Gibson and Courtney Kistler. And those two ladies wrote in to me along with dozens of other people telling me why they should receive a 1-year scholarship to this Uplift membership group, which I am launching right now. And they did such an outstanding job. They're both really just go-getters. So I'm really excited for them. And the Uplift membership group is something brand new for me. It's a community for successful, positive people who are looking to really get clear on what they want in their lives, get rid of what they don't, and have a good time doing it and connect with other people and have a coach. So it kicks off with a 4-week e-course that starts on January 21st, and it's called Getting Unstuck. And the membership group, there's more details on my website, which is jamiefeffer.com. And if you're interested in finding out more, please shoot me an email to jp@jamiefeffer.com. And then my second announcement is that I am doing another book proposal course with Jennifer Grace, and that starts this Saturday. So we do have a few spots left. If you're interested in that, please email me ASAP. And again, the email is jp@jamiefeffer.com. Do that as quickly as possible because you do need to have an interview to get into that class. So that's an 8-week class. So I want to thank you for being here today. And before we get started, I just want to set the intention. You can take a minute and just close your eyes and take a deep breath in as long as you're not driving. I want to set the intention that everyone that's listening to the show today is uplifted, inspired, and changes in a positive way. And anyone that's listening to the archive in the future. And I want to thank you for tuning in because one of my goals for 2015 is to positively impact 50,000 people. And I see the radio show as one of the vehicles for me to do that. So thank you for tuning in. If you're new to the show, I'm really glad to have you here. So today we're going to talk about writing. And I want to start off by talking about journaling. And if you're not a writer or a journaler and you have some feelings of resistance coming up around this, I really want to encourage you to stick around. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to say that if you want to bolt right now, you're probably the person that needs to listen to this show the most. So I've just learned this through myself, and I've always been a writer, personally. I remember writing in elementary school, and I wrote for the newspaper in high school, and I wrote for a college newspaper. I didn't really have it as a career, and I didn't plan on going into journalism, and I didn't. I actually have both of my degrees are in business. But writing found its way to me, and I was in the securities industry. Oh, wow, I think it was a long time ago. And I was moonlighting as a writer at night. It's really funny because my first real, like, foray into freelance writing, I created a blog in 2004, back when blogs, I mean, I remember people being like, what is a blog? What is that? I created this blog called Girl in the D, and it was about the city of Detroit, the city proper. And I actually have lived in Michigan my whole life, and I was always told, oh, no, you don't go anywhere near the city of Detroit. You know, people that go down there don't come back. So I had the real fortunate experience of meeting my husband fortunate for a number of reasons, but, you know, he's from New York. So it was very interesting, but he was living in the city. And, you know, I really fell for him very quickly, and he was living in the city with a bar owner, and he would, like, wine and dine me all the time in the city of Detroit. He just knew all these people down there. So I started spending a lot of time down there. And, wow, I mean, it's just, talk about uncovered beauty. Just, it's a phenomenal place. So, I don't know, the writing came out of me, and I just started this blog. I had no idea what I was doing. I was absolutely petrified to put any writing out there. And, I remember it literally taking me, like, 3 weeks to actually hit publish on the first post because I was so worried about, you know, what the response would be and all of that. But, yeah, I only wrote about positive things that were happening in Detroit. And I laughed because, oh, my gosh, there were so many haters. I got so much negative mail. But I also got a lot of really positive, supportive stuff back at me. And it was really cool. And I ended up leaving my job and getting offered some writing gigs. So it was very cool. So I've, you know, done that, and now I'm writing, and I'm writing a couple books and that type of stuff. But I want to start out with talking about journaling and this 5-minute journaling practice that I've been doing for, I think, the past 13 months. And it has been absolutely life-transforming for me, and it still is to this day. It's something that I do every day. And when I got it as an assignment for a class, and I remember thinking, and I'm like really a great student. I'm one of those people that, you know, did really well in school. I love sitting down and listening to teachers, and I love seminars. But I got this assignment, and I was doing so many practices in my daily life that I was like, oh, I cannot add another thing in. And but I'm such a rule follower, although I am getting a little bit better at that. I just thought, all right, I got to give it a shot. I can't let my teacher down. So I started this practice, and it was based off of Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way, which she calls morning pages. And the assignment was to wake up, and as soon as possible after you wake up, to just get a journal and journal your thoughts for 5 minutes. So just stream of consciousness, you know, if you're thinking this day is going to be crazy, you know, orange salt lamp, I don't know what I'm doing, roses, you know, it's just this random, whatever your thoughts are, that's how you're writing. And I resented it at first, but I realized the first week I couldn't stop at 5 minutes. I actually went, I think, until 10 minutes. And it was very clear, very early on, that this was going to be an incredibly healing practice for me. And I think that I was going through a lot of transformation in my life personally in a different way, but using journaling really allowed me to face a lot of my fears because it forces you to get present in your life. So, you know, I hear from a lot of people in my coaching practice and the students and people that I talk to day to day and people that comment on my blog or whatever, I hear from people about how stressed they are, how anxious they are, worried. And, you know, I also hear that people are trying to lose weight or stop shopping so much or, you know, really tone down unhealthy coping mechanisms. And journaling is such an awesome way to do that. And I feel like I really wanted to talk about it today because it's free. I mean, other than buying the journal, you know, I keep a journal with me in my purse at all times. And while I do this, the morning pages, I have a little slogan that I learned called write it, don't fight it. And I love that because anytime that I'm trying to fight something, if I have something, some type of something going on in my head, an argument, it's not leaving my head by just, you know, getting into that monkey mind and going around and around and around with it. And I've just found that with the journaling, I can really just nip it in the bud, and it has allowed me to be in these higher energies and not in so much worry and obsession all day long. I mean, even just for the positive effect that it's had on lessening my worry and anxiety, it's worth it. But there are so many other things that it helps with. I mean, in terms of artists, you know, you don't have to be a writer for writing to help you. The Artist's Way book is actually written for all sorts of different artists. And I'm someone who really believes that we're all creators. We're all artists. So, you know, I know for me, for many years, I had so much gunk and just judgment and ego, really, just ego. You know, and I'm not necessarily just talking about arrogance. You know, to me, ego can come out in insecurity or, you know, not feeling safe or, you know, many different things, perfectionism, procrastination, that type of stuff. So it's just been really helpful. And what I also found is that when I release that stuff, when I release that junk, or that, you know, it's kind of like a brain dump, at least in the beginning, and it actually still really is for me every morning. I make space for this new awesome stuff to come in, whether it's, you know, inspiration or a problem that I may have been stumped on. I talk a little bit about the vacuum law of prosperity, and that's a universal law that has to do with creating abundance in your life and the importance of regular releasing practices in your life to make space for new good things. And what the vacuum law of prosperity says is that nature abhors a vacuum. So if you create space in your life, something is going to fill it in. It's just going to come in. And because the universe is essentially good, and I'm saying that, and I'm sure there are some pessimists listening, but I want you to just hear me out here. Because the universe is essentially good, it's going to be filled in with something good. And I truly believe that. I've seen it work in my life over and over again. And this is actually one pretty significant part of my book, and I take my through different releasing practices. You know, whether it's not just, it can be your physical space, but also the mental clutter is just, it can just be overwhelming. So, you know, making that space and doing it daily with just this 5-minute practice, it's like, it's 5 minutes, you know, you grab the journal, you write, you set a timer and you write for 5 minutes. And it's amazing what comes in and also the ideas that you get and the growth and the change, and getting to know yourself. You know, it's a positive self-esteem. It's a self-love activity. You're taking time for yourself. You're saying, I'm important enough. I want to get current with myself. I want to find out what's going on with me, you know. And some of the other benefits, it's really helped me to be able to identify patterns in my life because I'm having the awarenesses because I'm writing the thoughts down. And then, you know, I can go back and I can look at the journals. I mean, I have so many. I go through a lot of them because I use this tool. It's like one of my favorite tools. This morning when I was writing just a post about the show, I was like, this is like a freedom tool for me. This is a tool for freedom. It makes me feel free. And I will say that it isn't easy. And I don't think that writing is easy. Writing takes courage. Writers are some of the most courageous people and in-touch people that I know. And I'm not just talking about, you know, those that are putting their work out to the world, although that takes immense courage. When you first start, it takes a lot of courage to look at that piece of paper and to actually face those fears or thoughts or whatever it is head on. A lot of people live in denial, and it's a protective mechanism, but it doesn't help. You know, it's kind of like I used to have, when we lived in our old house, when we moved in, we had an extra bedroom, and it became the dropping off point. So anytime anything came in the house, like I didn't like the house cluttered, so I would drop it off in that room and close the door. And I knew it was there in the back of my head, but the door was closed. So it was like, it's not in the front of my mind, but it really was there. And it was taking up all this precious space for happiness and serenity and joy in my life. And eventually, I got pregnant with my second daughter, and I had to clear that room out because I had to create her nursery. And I was so scared, and I had so much shame around that, but I finally did it because I had to. And fortunately, there's something called the nesting instinct with women, so when you're pregnant. And it was just so strong. But facing it and doing it, it was so liberating and just uplifting, and it feels great. It's like this huge self-esteem booster to do it and to just face whatever the fear is, whatever the dark place is, to really shine the light on it. So that's the way that I look at journaling, and it does get easier. And I would say for anyone that wants to start this, I mean, honestly, if you're thinking of making any resolutions this year or any goals, and this is just my opinion, but journaling for 5 minutes a day, I would say make it part of your life. For me, it's an essential daily tool, just like meditation and mindfulness are for me. It's like brushing my teeth. I just don't go a day without doing it. And the other phrase that I wanted to mention was what you resist persists. So journaling is another way for you to stop resisting, because just basic energy, just a basic little energy lesson, everything is made up of energy, even your thoughts. So even if you think that numbing out, you know, whatever way that is, and there are various ways, some politically correct and some that aren't, is going to get rid of your thoughts, it's not. It's not. They either get stuffed down and then they end up coming up, being like blown up, you know, that's like rage or different things like that. They come out at other people. It's going to come out in some way or another. And yes, it can be scary, but writing is such an awesome release for that. And also, it will improve your relationship. I know I used to participate in a lot of complaining and a lot of dumping. And, you know, like I said before, everything's energy. So I'm not saying I don't do this. I'm certainly not perfect by any means, but I really try to bring a positive, you know, to bring my best self to every interaction that I'm involved in. And I noticed that I would get home at night and I would just like dump on my husband. And it's like, it's my obligation to really bring forth a healthy, positive environment for everybody, because it really affects everybody in my life. It's like, you know, what's a great thing that I can do for my kids? I can do that. I can dump my feelings out in this journal, or, you know, therapy is a great option for that, or And I'm not saying don't ever talk to your family and friends, but this is a great, you know, way to just let some of it out here and then bring your best self to your relationships. And then I also wanted to just touch on the point that I tend to attract certain types of people to my show. So, you know, there are people that are kind of in the healing arts or energy, and then I also attract people that are in business because I have this whole business side of me and like this analytical side. And, you know, I think of like professional men. And I want to say, you know, for professional men, if you have this feeling that like, oh my gosh, I couldn't journal, this is going to like knock off my sex appeal or something, I just want to tell you that I have never seen, well, it's one of the top things, one of the like sexiest things that I've ever seen my husband do is write in his journal. And he does that every day. So I hope that, you know, journaling doesn't scare you, because I think it's incredible. And I think that there are a lot of women who would find that incredibly just awesome. So that's what that is for that. And then, you know, just writing for healing and facing your fears and asking questions and answering questions. If you've ever been part of a 12-step group or any type of recovery work or healing, you've probably answered questions, and those are powerful gateways for change. So, you know, if you don't want to change, I would say don't journal and don't get into questions, because it's almost impossible not to. But I believe that we're all here to change. We're all here to uplift each other and, you know, just grow and just raise our consciousness. So journaling is a fantastic way to do that. Writing is an amazing way to do that. And, yeah, so, you know, what if you can't, what if you're not good at writing? What if you just don't like writing? Like my 6-year-old Bree, she doesn't like writing. She has the assignment to write in a journal, and she doesn't really care for it. My daughter Reese, she is 2.5, and I don't know if you've been around a 2.5-year-old, but she's really learning right now how to express herself. So, I mean, she can't write. Like, I mean, she can scribble, but that is writing. She can't write words that we understand, but she can write, and same with Bree. So one of the things that I have them do is I've done this with Bree since she was 3.5. I would give her, like, if she was angry, she would use a red crayon and she would just scribble on the paper. And I remember reading this book where it said to do that and being like, there's no way. And she got it. And my daughter Reese at 2.5, she understands this. So, you know, you can draw. You can draw out. You know, if you think in pictures, which a lot of people do, if you're really visual, you can draw out what's going on in your mind. It doesn't necessarily have to be writing. My students ask me a lot, though, you know, do I really have to write the words? Can't I just think them? Well, you can just think them, but I'm telling you that there's something about putting the words out onto the paper that stops them from going and going and going and going. And, I mean, it's incredible. Like, if you keep it in your head, you keep that energy going, and it is harder. I mean, I consider myself pretty proficient in positive thinking. I've meditated for a number of years. But there's something about getting the words out, releasing it, that stops it. So that's what I wanted to say there. And let's see. Oh, the only other thing I wanted to talk about is goal setting and success, because I believe that writing is integral for success. It's, you know, writing your goals down, I think it's something like there was a Harvard study done that just the act of writing the goals down on paper increases the likelihood of them happening by 80%. I mean, that's incredible. So, you know, if you do anything for yourself, there's a lot of other steps that go into goal setting. But I know even in terms of manifesting, I do something that I call the letter to the universe every day. And this is not the morning pages exercise. It's something different. But it's like a manifestation tool that I created. And it's amazing. It's an amazing thing. So that is that. So I encourage you, use writing in your life. And right now, I want to bring on Gabe Berman, because we're going to talk about other ways that, you can use writing in your life. And I'm very excited. Like I said earlier, Gabe is the author of 3 books. He is the author of the Deepak Chopra-endorsed self-help book, Live Like a Fruit Fly. And he is a miracle creator as well. So if you'd like to learn more about that, grab the episode. I think it was from December 8th, and you can grab that for free in the archive for up to a year. But today we're going to talk about journaling and Gabe's journey from corporate America to, we're going to talk about writing and Gabe's journey from corporate America to becoming a published author. So hi, Gabe, are you there?
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hi, you're welcome. I apologize. I went a little bit over from what
about. I was digging your show. I was just, like, kicking back, like, you know, eating and drinking, and I'm like, wow, I better start, like, cleaning my throat out here. From, like, just 35, eating, like, I'm sitting here eating bananas and mangoes and just like, oh, this is a great show. And then I'm like, well,
awesome.
I gotta get busy here.
Awesome. Well, I'm thrilled to have you. The last time you were on, people just raved. So, and I know that you have a lot to share. So why don't you just start out? I'll let you go with the flow, whatever you feel. If you want to start out with talking about your journey, what you used to do, what your life is like now.
Well, let me just say something about forcing yourself to write it. What you said about your students ask you to, if they can just think the words.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of writing them, like you said, you must write them. That's something that I do with the Miracle website when people contact me saying different things that they're looking for, a different miracles to happen in their lives. Everyone's just looking for some sort of little bit of help, including me, and, you know, it's just the way it is. But I basically force them to write it out through emails. Like, they'll just they'll say a lot of things in the email. But then I keep on making them narrow it down even further, and I really feel it's like that writing process that it enlightens them to what the answer is before we even speak about it. Like, it might not even happen if we didn't go back and forth, but just that process of writing it, like, they get cleaner and clearer of what they're actually looking for, because you can't think your way out of it. You have to actually, like, commit to putting it down in words, because what I really feel like, and this is not a writer speaking, this is just life, as you were saying, like, journaling is for non-writers as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you force yourself to, even if you're scribbling with crayons like your kids, it forces you to open up a different channel that's not just thinking. It's like that Einstein quote is like, you can't solve a problem with the same mind that caused it, or whatever the quote is. But it forces your consciousness to kind of, like, open up to its subconscious when you're writing, because all of writing comes from subconscious. And in my writing book, I talk about how, you know, you think you can write a great sentence on demand. I dare you to go sit down right this second and write a great sentence. It's impossible. Like, you have to kind of just wait until it comes to you. I mean, maybe it'll take 2 seconds, but it could take 2 hours.
Right.
So there's definitely something said. There's a lot to be said for that journaling process. And I started writing in a journal when it sounds silly, but I went to, you know, when people go to sleepaway camp, they get there when they're like 5 and everybody knows each other until, like, you graduate high school and then that's it. But I got there as one summer, I think it was like a summer or two before going to college. I was just a counselor. I just had this opportunity and I knew nobody. They all looked at me like an alien. I had no one to speak to. So, like, I was literally speaking to myself in a journal. I just found a notebook and I just started writing.
Wow.
And it was like the most cathartic thing in the world, because I didn't know who to talk. I really didn't know who to speak to. So I spoke to myself, but I'm like, I'm not just going to sit there and, like, bellyache in my journal. So I was just being funny the way I would normally think or write. And my style kind of came out of my journaling, where so if you read my journal, you couldn't read my journal because it's just too sloppy. But if you had some sort of, like, Martian who can decode it, you would see that the style of my books that are out is exactly the same as my journals.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah, I know. For me, I used to be really insecure. I was very insecure. And, you know, it looked like I had everything, but I just, I don't know. I don't know what happened. You know, I think a lot of that stuff happens early on in life. But, I would be my own cheerleader. And I started writing myself these, like, letters and notes. And it changed my life. It really changed my life. It was just like, wow. You know, it's the same type of thing where I would write to myself and just talk to myself and have a conversation with myself. So I get it. Very cool. So you got away from it, and then you said that you used it in college?
Yeah, it was just once in a while I would go back to it, and I'd write just to up. I was really like updating the future me. That's what it came down to. I started writing so I don't forget the details, and then I realized that I will never forget anything because I am blessed or cursed with this insane memory that I don't really forget anything anyway. But it's fun to go back and to write. And the thing is, once I started to actually write, I didn't write in a journal anymore. It was just, I guess my body or my soul or my something or the combination just needed to write. So once I stopped writing the journal, I actually started writing. And it was one thing kind of like transitioned to the other, but it wasn't like an overnight thing. It could have been years. I just remember there was some point where I just said, I'm not going to journal anymore. And there was also, that's, I guess, started when I really got into my whole spiritual metaphysical quest. And it's not that I outgrew it. Yeah, I guess I outgrew journaling, but it was definitely a necessary step. It's like you can't go to the most important like enlightenment class of all time. You have to like start somewhere, and that was definitely the place to start.
I was actually thinking that I wonder how journaling would affect your writing, like your tone and different things like that, because I feel like, I mean, at least for me, I think I don't know, I'm just so used to doing it as a habit now, but...
Well, I kind of feel what you're saying, that when you're writing professionally or you're trying to write professionally or you're just writing a blog that you want people to read...
Right.
There's probably a difference in 99% of the people in their heads about, oh, this is my blog voice, and for other people to read, and this is my journaling voice. Like, this is where I really don't care about anything. I feel like that's what you need to bring to the blog. I feel like that's what you need to bring to the newspaper, or magazine, or book, or anything that
the
you're
journaling?
Writing. I really do. Not the journaling,
really?
But that inner voice. Like, because people are like, oh, maybe I should just sound professional and I need to like sound clean. But that is so boring. And that's why I really think that most books suck and most newspaper articles suck and most magazines suck. I mean, they're excellent writers and they have an amazing grasp of the English language. But it's so boring and unreadable that I can't get through anything. And I'm definitely not saying that I'm like God's gift to the universe in writing, like, you know, Salinger or something. But I know that if I write something, if it's put in front of somebody, there's no way that they're not going to read it. It's impossible.
Okay.
So they, because I refuse to, here's like quadruple negatives, not use my journal voice. I bring that journal voice where there's no fear because to everything that I write. And because I know that's the only way to captivate people with that actual, like, people want to see your guts and they want to know about how much you love something or how much you hate something, and they really want to feel that you're laying it all out in what you're saying. But there's the other side of that too, which is you really have to know that there are people reading it, and you can't just talk about your mom going shopping with your mom for a half hour. Like, nobody cares. There's a whole thing in my reading book saying that unless you're a celebrity, that no one really cares about you. That's just what it comes down to.
And
if Springsteen wrote about, like, going shopping, I'd read the entire book. Like, if he's just going to the bathroom, I'd read the entire book because it's like Springsteen and like I really care. But most people don't think that way when they're writing and they're just going on and on. It's like, yes, we know that's all important to you, but you're trying to get someone to read you, and you have to kind of write with that fearless journaling that you don't care what anybody thinks, but also knowing that you have to like grab somebody by the throat on the other side and make them read no matter what. You know what I mean? It's like that subtle mix.
I do.
Both.
Yeah, I do. I had a thought, but I can't think of what it was. So, Yeah. One of the things that you talked about was getting in touch with your subconscious through writing. And I was just thinking in terms of, you know, getting in touch with your higher self and really getting clarity on certain things. I mean, I'm a coach, and before I was a coach, I've always been a seeker, always. And
but just,
I love
just,
answering.
Sorry if I cut you off, but that could sound kind of spooky to somebody who doesn't, like, who's not really there. And like, oh, I'm thinking about right, but now I have to worry about my higher self. Like, I totally understand what you're getting, but it's more like, to me, it's just like, it's just waiting for you to get out of the way. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is the way to do it. You just kind of push your ego out of the way, and you just sit there and you force yourself to wait, which is like the most painful process in the world. But I completely get about the higher self thing, but maybe there are people who are out there, you know, when you said like, get off the, you know, hang up right now if this isn't for you, but you have the people that, like the people that are listening that are like, feel like they should be hanging out, like the higher self thing might sound a little spooky. You know what I mean?
I don't, but
okay.
Like, I mean, I know what you're trying to say. Yeah.
Like it's definitely a spiritual process, but like labeling it as a spiritual process, that would have like scared me as a writer.
Okay.
Like, you know, like there's no way to do this. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know. I don't think of it as spooky because, like,
okay.
I don't think it's like evil or.
No, not like spooky, like metaphysically, like, oh, I have to be this enlightened person before I even get to write.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, no, absolutely not. I think that that's the gateway.
Yes,
it's the
exactly.
gateway.
Okay.
It puts you in touch with it. And it's like I was talking about, you know, it puts you in touch with awareness. Like, you don't have anywhere to go. And,
exactly.
Yeah, it sounds scary, but what's the alternative? You know, I mean, I talk to a lot of people every day who, and I mean, I don't even watch TV. I very rarely. I mean, my exposure to TV is at the gym, when I'm at the gym, and I can't help but see the stuff that's on. And, you know, I even in 2004, I mean, it's like, look at the blog that I started, Girl in the D, Positive Aspects of Detroit. So I hear from a lot of people about how terrible their life is, you know, and just the statistics of things that are going on, you know, addictions. And so it's like, this is a tool to really help people who want change. And like I said, you've got to be courageous to be able to do this work. I mean, you're forcing yourself to be present, which, you know, a lot of people spend a lot of time making sure that they're not present because they don't want to feel the feelings. You know, I think that that's a reason that writing is so powerful in the grief process too, whether it's with a death or whatever it is, you know, any type of loss, that it's actually shining a light and saying, yeah, this is going on, you know? I don't know. And for me, I can only speak for myself, but when I chose to, before I had healthy habits like journaling or writing and, you know, have various others, my life wasn't the way that it is now. I lived with a lot of anxiety and a lot of depression and a lot of what I'll call lower energies. So it didn't feel good. It wasn't a good existence. It was surviving. And it was like, I don't know, my inner voice would talk to me and it was like, it shouldn't be like this. And I mean, yeah, there were fun times here and there, but I guess, you know, part of what I'm saying is that, you know, I wasn't born this way, and it's possible for anyone to change their life and have a better life. And there are things that you can do to get into higher energies. And journaling and releasing things, you know, having healthy coping mechanisms or whatever you want to call it, getting in touch with your art, getting in touch with your spirit. Writing can be fun. It can be, you know, one of those things where you lose yourself, you know, if it's that type of thing for you. And that's incredible. Like, there's so many people out there that work you know, all hours, and I'm speaking really to people in corporate America who are exhausted and who, you know, they don't even spend 10 minutes a day getting in touch with something that they actually enjoy. It's just like this stressful, depleting, low energy life. And I think that writing is a portal out of that. Does that make sense?
Completely. It's like what Eckhart Tolle always says about, you know, the power of now guy, about the voice in your head that's always there speaking to you. And there are definitely different ways to combat that or to deal with that. But many people think that it's normal. I mean, because it's become so normal to walk around with that voice in your head. But then they look for different ways to deal with that. Like, they'll read a couple of self-help books, or they'll go to the bar and get shellacked, or you know, it's just that typical, you watch 9 hours of horrible television just so you don't have to deal with that. And I get it. It's not anyone's fault. It's just, that's just what society has been melted down to. And of course, there's amazing times in between, but a lot of that in between the amazing times is just that constant self-talk of not enough and meeting expectations. And people, I mean, I hope they can realize that you don't have to, like you said, you don't have to be a writer, and you don't even think about writing, but it could just be, you just think about it as just another pill you might pop, like for 5 minutes with no side effects, you just sit down there and you just really vent. You just vent to someone who gets you, which is you. And then there is some sort of, like, to use my word from before, spooky process that happens that it can become very cathartic, and who knows where it can go.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, what you just said, that's like the essence of Uplift, my book. It's like these little practices. So journaling.
Well, I'll take 10% of anything you sell.
So it is. And I do think too, you know, what you resist persists. It does not go away. I can't say that enough, because I just know for my students that I've taken through the course, like, and I knew, I had the idea that they weren't going to like this. They weren't going to like the morning pages activity. And then I also had them, like, do a whole week where, you know, anytime something comes up during your day, I want you to get your journal out, and I want you to journal about it. And they told me after the week was over, you know, I really didn't want to do this. And it still comes up for me. It's like, I don't want to face those feelings, you know, or if I feel angry, or, you know, it's like I'd rather just shove it down. But it's not good for you or me or anybody to do that, because it comes out, you know, it comes out in physical ailments. It comes out toward your spouse or loved one or your kids or whatever. So, it's really, really helpful in that regard. And then also, I think from the artist's way, and I talked to other artists who've done that program or read it. For me, I told you earlier today, I get these like downloads of information when I do this writing. It's like when I get this stuff out, I feel like I have an access to writing, whatever it is, or speaking, or, you know, I get my speeches in that form. And I've talked to a lot of different artists who also have found a lot of relief and less writer's block from using that morning pages activity.
And I know you spoke to a lot of artists, but I'm on the complete opposite side. I follow no rules. I'm the worst rule follower. I don't take any courses. I just can't. I'm not saying that I'm better than, like, I'm not talking about writing courses. I can't, like, get involved with, like, this. Do these 9 steps to do this. It just doesn't work for me at all.
Right.
I need to just sit there and live my life until I know what to do. And then I'll sit down for 6 hours and miss everything because I know it's time to just write. And sometimes that happens often, and sometimes it doesn't happen at all. But to get back to the business and writing and connecting it to journaling, now that I look at it, like, macroly, when I started journaling, that got me to this voice that I use to write now. And then this is in my Fruit Fly, Live Like a Fruit Fly book. I would always just complain about being a writer, wanting to be a writer, but I would never write, because why should you write? Because you'll never get published. I mean, that's just the way it works. It's easier to make the NBA, it seems like, than to write. But I would complain to my friends all the time, and one friend of mine, a good friend of mine, she just said, you know what, don't ever speak to me again until you start writing. And she just hung up on me. So I, you know, all right, maybe I'll want to talk to her again, so I'll start writing. And it's the scariest thing in the world. I just turned on my computer and looked at a blank page, and I just said, I don't know what to do here now. I have nothing to say. So I really started, like, journaling, but, like, officially on the computer. And instead of just scribbling, I put, like, real thoughts together, and I told little stories about nothing, about me. I knew no one would ever see it, but I was just really just writing just to do it because it's what I wanted to do. And I just said, I don't care about, I just stopped caring about getting published. But as I was writing this thing, I'm like, wow, this could actually be something.
That's awesome.
This could actually be some sort of book. So I kept on going, and I kept on going for about 2 years. And it never went anywhere. But because I wrote that, I bumped into a friend of mine, and we didn't see each other for a million years, and she was writing for all these different magazines and newspapers, and she's like, oh, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm in corporate America. I hate it, but I'm trying to write this book. She's like, oh, you should send me some of it. So I sent her some of it, and I sent her the craziest stuff that I had, and I just thought she would automatically hate it because she was this professional writer. And she sent me this email back saying, like, you know what? I really love your stuff. You have some sort of something going on. I don't know what it is, but... So I felt so great that, like, wow, a real artist told me that I know what's going on. And then from there, I swear to God, a week later, the Miami Herald called me when I was living in Miami. And they said, hey, we heard you're in this amazing writer. Can you please send us a sample? And then I wrote for the Herald for 8 years. So if I didn't start journaling, I never would have had the voice to write my own stupid little book that I was writing, which I never would have had something to send to that girl. And then the Herald would never have called me. Like, it's all like the butterfly effect. It's all connected.
Right.
And then from there, I said, you know what? It's time to write a book. And getting a book published is a whole other crazy story of how I got published. But, you know, one thing definitely leads to another, which is brings us, I guess, to the major point of this entire thing about writing, which is how do you write? Like, how do you make it happen? And how do you journal? And how do you get published? And the main thing is you have to start. And I know that sounds so stupid and easy and logical and remedial, but I bump into people all the time, and they're like, oh, what do you do? I'm a writer. Like, oh, I have a whole book, and I want to do this thing.
Right.
And I'm like, well, how far into it are you? And they're like, oh, I didn't start. I mean, I don't think I've ever met anybody who says, oh, I'm on page 3. Like, I've never met anybody who does that. You really have to, like, you just have to make it happen. And then... You know, getting back to the Miami Herald thing and forcing yourself to write, they wanted me to write this test column for them, which I did. I went out and I took all these notes about this thing that they wanted me to write about in South Beach, and I got home and I stayed up all night. I watched the sun come up because I was trying to be that, like, reporter guy. And I wasn't – and I forgot about that journal voice that I was just telling you about. And I'm like, and then at the last second, I'm like, screw it. I'm gonna risk my entire – everything that I wanted to – do with my life is to be a writer. I'm going to risk it all. I'm just going to throw my journal out voice out there. They'll probably hate it, but if they love it, I'm in. And they thankfully loved it, and it all just kind of worked out. And then I was able to use my ridiculous journal voice in
That's
the
awesome.
Miami Herald. But the thing is, I wrote the nightlife column, which I knew nothing about, but I wrote it in a certain voice that has never been heard before, talking about bands or drink specials or anything. So people who never even went out, I would get emails from people all the time saying, like, we don't care about the bar scene or anything like that. We just love reading your column because it's like...
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's what it's all about. You just want to get someone to be happy reading you stuff because it's so easy to write something that... teaches. It's really easy to just write a textbook. Like, if you put two textbooks next to each other that just talks about, let's say, physics, one written with some sort of voice and one written just, you know, in a science voice, but they say the same information, the one that actually can connect with a person is the one that is going to sell and what people are going to want to read.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome. I wanted to touch on, so it sounds like you have a process, but your process is that you don't want to have a step-by-step process, or you have your own step-by-step process that isn't, you don't want to, like, box yourself in, which
I completely understand. It's not that I have, like, a rule against rules. It's just that I mean, I wish someone just said, hey, do these seven things and you'd write an amazing book.
Mm-hmm.
I just won't allow anything to like be a finished product unless it came so naturally. And
okay.
And I know there are writers, like the, what's traditional and what's, what works is like, okay, just write every day and write something
right.
that's great. And
right.
and
right.
that's, I'm sure if I did write every day, I'd be better. But
mm-hmm.
I just want, when I am writing, I want it to be so special. And like when, to use your word, download, like downloaded from the universe, like this is
right.
so special or so funny or so something. So there's a
right.
lot of, I mean, weeks will go by and I won't write anything just
wow.
because there's just nothing going on. I mean, even way more than weeks. I mean, months will go by.
Wow.
And that's just the way it is. And
huh.
yeah, I
okay.
don't suggest that as a writer, but if you're
yeah.
starting out, if you're starting out and you're like, oh, I wonder if I can be a writer, you really have to write and you really have to read.
Yes. Yeah.
And put those together. But I just don't do that. I just don't. Because I know behind all of that, like, you're being a phony. I just feel like I'm not being authentic to myself
right.
by just writing just
yeah.
to write. And who
yeah.
knows? I mean, maybe if I did, I would have 12 best-selling books out right now. But
yeah.
it just doesn't work for me that way.
Right. You know what? Yeah, it's really interesting. And there are a lot of books out there that tell you a step-by-step you know, way. But I think for me, I do certain practices that actually increase the downloads that I get. So
okay.
it's kind of just like, oh, yeah, you know. So it's almost like last week I took some time off because I didn't have as many. But I know why. It usually has to do with my, like, what I'm doing in my life. It's directly related. It's like if I'm stressed and I've gotten caught up in exhaustion or, you know, I'll use that term again, lower energies. I don't get the downloads. I just don't. If I'm not, you know, I have certain things, and I'm sure everybody has different things, but if I'm not taking care of myself, like self-love type of stuff, I, you know, that's like a critical component for me. Spending time in nature is really critical for me. And that's another thing that came from the Artist Way book that I just remembered. She says to do an artist date once a week, and I do mine in nature. Because I don't know what it is. I just get the inspiration after being there. So, you know, moving my body. So, like, exercise, that's, like, a daily thing for me. So it's like I do all these things during the day, and then I feel that it increases those downloads. But
well, going back to what you said about not following rules or following rules or what we were just talking about,
yeah.
there are a couple that I follow. And one of the most important ones is the first paragraph or first sentence of anything. First paragraph, definitely of the beginning of the column or book or something. If your first sentence isn't so remarkable, I'm gone.
Right.
And I feel that many publishers and editors and agents would kind of feel the same way. Maybe they're less brutal about it than I am, and good, because those are the people that you need to impress. But if you really want to get your, I mean, I'm saying like, oh, who cares about what anyone thinks about anything? But the truth is you want your readers to read your stuff and you want to get
right.
new readers. And I really know, it's more than like think, I really know that you need to grab readers from the get-go. Because
right.
if you don't, they're gone. And many articles and many books, they kind of like warm their way up to what they're trying to say. And I know it's my fault. It's like that MTV brain that you can't think for more than 3 minutes or can't
right.
focus. I am gone. I have zero patience. Like, my friends send me articles all the time. Hey, you're going to love this thing that this guy wrote about meditation. Like, if I am gone within the first like 3 words, if I'm not done, if it doesn't like really grab, I need to be grabbed by my neck that I am like pulled down to the book. Like, I need to really feel that this is the most urgent thing. Like, I'm going to trade my time for what you're just to sit down with you, the writer. Like, there needs to be some reason why. Like, I want to feel like I'm getting the better of the deal. Like, wow, you're going to let me read your stuff? That's so great. And I don't feel that many writers are aware of that, of how
okay.
this tiny little window that you have to grab
mm-hmm.
someone's attention. And once you have them, you have to kind of keep them, but it's way easier once they're like, it's kind of like a domino effect. Like you knock over the first domino, the second domino is definitely going to fall. So you just want to like write a sentence that will bring them to the next sentence, which will bring them to the next sentence, which is like, and those are the rules that I kind of follow in my head, but like subconsciously, I'm always trying, it's like, I'm trying to tighten everything that I'm writing and taking mm-hmm. everything out that's completely not essential.
Right.
Just so the dominoes fall so quickly and the timing is so perfectly that they can read 1,000 words that you've written about, like toilet paper, and they're like so blown away. And people are like, oh my God, this is the best thing that I've ever read about toilet paper.
Right.
It's just.
Yeah, I don't think you're being harsh. I think that that's the way that it is. I mean, and with titles, I mean, I don't know if you have any background with writing copy, but, you know, that's it. In essence, and copywriters spend just as much time coming up with their title as they do writing a whole piece. And the, you know, the first sentence is like number two. So
what happens with me with titles, I always think of phenomenal titles, and then I don't know what to do with it afterwards. I always have great, great titles, and mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I can write a phenomenal paragraph about this, but it's not enough to fill up a book. And that's another issue I have with writing. I'm always afraid that I'm not going to, because I write so minimally, that not like time-wise, like everything that I say is so stripped down that, like here's just an example of what I'm talking about. It's like if you have this tremendous machine gun with a billion bullets in there, and you can scatter everything. I have like one tiny little like thing with one gun with like two shots, and I know that they have to be the most critical of all time. So that's why I don't even understand how people fill up whole books with what they say, because you look at any of the self-help books out there or the philosophy books, or they're just, it's so repetitive and it keeps on going over and over and over again, over and over. Like you can say all of that in one paragraph. So that's why I feel like I get these great titles, and I don't know what to do with them because I'll never be able to write a whole book about them. But once in a while, you get a great title, like Live Like a Fruit Fly. I'll pat myself on the back. And I had that exact fear of like, wow, I can't write a whole book about this. But I knew that it was something that needed to be said. So I said, I don't care about how afraid I am about this. I'm just going to go out there and write it. And then a year later, I had a whole book.
Wow, I love it. Very cool. So while we're on that subject, we're down to the last couple minutes. Why don't you tell us where we can, you know, what are your books? Where can we get them? What are they about?
Okay. I have Live Like a Fruit Fly, and that actually was self-published first because I thought writing for the Miami Herald for 8 years was just like everyone's going to want to, you know, hear from me. But then, you know, I got rejected by everyone 1,000 times. I just kept on putting it out there because, so I self-published it. But then throughout the butterfly effect of keep on pushing it, I got published by HCI, which is the company that published originally the 70 million copies of Chicken Soup for the Soul. So there's Live Like a Fruit Fly, and you can get that on Amazon. And then I wrote a book about writing, which is called The Complete Bullshit-Free and Totally Tested Writing Guide, How to Make Publishers, Agents, Editors, and Readers Fall in Love with Your Book. And that is just a very, it's only like 50, 60 pages, and it's a very direct approach to not like put a comma here, put a comma here. It's just like write from your guts because that's the only way that it's going to work kind of book. And if you're even thinking about journaling or writing or everything, that is definitely a book you should check out, and that's on
it's
Amazon.
It's awesome. Yep.
Thank you. And then I wrote a book called Where is God When Your Loved Ones Get Sick? Because my dad got very sick and I had to deal with that, and I started questioning the whole thing. And that, I guess I came back to journaling because I didn't know what to do with myself. There's no one to speak to about it. Like everyone handles it the other way. So I just didn't want to question the universe without like really getting into it. And that's where that book came from. And thankfully I came up with an answer, and that's on Amazon too. Where is God When Our Loved Ones Get Sick?
Awesome. And where can we find you? We've got about 30 seconds. Are you online?
Yeah, you can go to doyouneedamiracle.com. You can just email me at gabeberman@gmail. Facebook, Twitter, it's always Gabe Berman. And my blog is OMG, like OM Gabe. Oh my God, but it's Gabe. OMGABE. OhMyGabe.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And thanks to everyone for listening today. You can find me at jamiepfeffer.com. and email me if you have any interest in any of my classes. Have a great week. Bye.